Turning to Bibles tonight, to the book of John, chapter 21. Again, we're in the precious book of John. I want to go back to this wonderful chapter this evening. And for my message tonight, I'm going to focus upon one verse, but yet we're going to look at the entire context as we did this morning. I want to begin reading at verse number 18 for our message tonight. Verse number 18, John chapter 21. And allow me to just kind of give a little bit of a running commentary as we go through some of these verses, and then we'll wind up the message tonight by just looking at a very practical thought that we're going to use tonight as my sermon. But we'll just sort of commentary our way through some of this. Look at verse number 18. Verily, verily, or basically he's saying, truly, truly. Jesus, of course, doing this speaking here. He said, I say unto thee, he's addressing Peter. He said, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Now, let me slow down just a little bit here and inject this thought. In verses 18 and 19, I believe that what we have here is a prophetic statement on the part of the Lord concerning Peter, concerning Peter's imminent death. Now, a lot of reputable Bible historians, those that are really devout students of Bible history, and men that are trustworthy, have the agreement in their belief system that Peter literally was crucified. And it would seem, in reading verse number 18, it would convey that thought of stretching forth thy hands, another shall gird thee. History records that Peter was crucified. That was his martyrdom. That was his type of death. History also, historians tell us that Peter, due to his love and loyalty to his Lord, he requested that he not be crucified right up, but crucified upside down. There are many reputable people that believe that was true concerning Simon Peter. He was crucified in terms of his martyrdom and chose to be crucified upside down. Basically this, his Lord is preeminent. His Lord is the preeminent one, and Peter did not even feel worthy to even be crucified the same way his Lord was. That's the thought that some historians believe. Because it says in verse 19, this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith, follow me. Now in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14, we read this. Peter says this in his second epistle, verse 14. He said, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, this my tabernacle, talking about his body. He's saying, I must shortly put off this body, this tabernacle. He's referencing physical death. And then now, the verse continues, even as our Lord Jesus hath showed me. It would seem that 2 Peter 1:14 is basically a commentary on what we find in John 21 when the Lord said, or actually gave prophetic indication that Peter would be crucified. I believe that Peter's making reference to that in the second book of 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14. Now let me continue reading in our text, chapter 21. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following. Now, the disciple whom Jesus loved was none other than John the Beloved. Now, understand this. There was actually none of the disciples that Jesus didn't love. He loved them all. But John had a very special relationship with his Lord. He is referenced as the disciple whom Jesus loved. There was a special relationship. a unique closeness with John, which was different than the rest of the disciples. And so Peter's talking about John here. Let me keep reading. It says, whom Jesus loved for all, which also leaned on his breast at supper. We know through reading our Bibles that John was that disciple that leaned on the breast of Christ, that rested on him. Now look again at verse 20. And said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Now, that's my thought tonight. That's my topic. That's my title. What shall this man do? Now, let me keep reading. Verse number 22. Basically, what we have here is Peter looking over at John, and Peter saying, Lord, what shall this man do? What about John? What about John? Verse 22, Jesus says to him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? He said, follow thou me. Basically, in putting it in a kind word here, Jesus basically was telling Peter, that's really none of your business. Don't you worry about John. If it's my will that John remain upon this earth till I come back, he said, that still is not to hinder you from following me. You follow me. Now, there's an excellent point here that needs to be made. In this life, there are many things that you and I do not know. There's a lot that we don't understand. Some people seem to think they have to know everything before the light is green. Some people give the idea they would serve the Lord in certain ways if they just knew a little bit more. If they just understood a little bit more. But if I see one practical principle here, it's simply this. We're still to follow the Lord regardless of how much we know or do not know. That's still no reason not to focus on the basic thing. Some people will be waiting a long time before they're going to be able to understand certain things. And the bad thing about it is if they're the type of a person that has to know all of these things in order to get the green light to serve God, then I'll tell you, they're going to never get anything done. I remember a graduate of a Bible college one time over in West Virginia. To my knowledge, I don't think the man ever went into ministry. He went through a Bible college and he never went into the ministry. And another preacher and I paid him a visit. He lived back in one of those hollows in West Virginia. We were talking with him, and his statement to us was this. He said, my friends, he actually went to Tennessee Temple. He said, my friends told me that maybe what I need to do, what he's trying to do is justify not serving God. He said, my friend said that maybe what I need to do is go to Chattanooga and wait. That was his expression. In other words, wait on God in Chattanooga. Let me tell you something. God knew where he was in West Virginia. You don't have to be in some geographical place to get the leadership of God. Just keep your eyes on the Lord and keep on following him. Someone also one time said, you can't steer a parked car. The reason why a lot of people can't get a good bearing on the will of God is they're idle right now. They're not doing anything. It's while you're busy, it's while you're functioning, that God's able to redirect and move and use a person in a greater way. It's being busy. Some people think, well, busyness means some great spectacular type of a ministry. Other things are treated as menial, not important. Well, God's not going to use you if that's how you feel. There's nothing unimportant. Everything that we do for God is important. And so we just need to be faithful in doing what in other words, the light that's turned on in terms of what we know right now about the will of God, we need to function in that direction with what knowledge we have and trust God to lead us and redirect us if it's His desire down the road. But just be faithful where you are right now doing what you know that God would have you to do. And God blesses that way. But you can't steer a car that is parked. Now let me keep reading. Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Then basically the Lord said, you focus on one thing, Peter. You just follow me. You just follow me. If you'll just follow me, everything will be fine. You may not understand what my will is for John, but it's not you're having to know what my will is for John. What you need to know is what my will is for you. We can't answer for somebody else, but there's one thing for sure, we're going to answer for ourselves. When we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to give a self answer. It's going to be an answer in reference to ourselves. We're not going to have to give an account to somebody else. Now, I do understand this. I know that a pastor is responsible to faithfully lead the flock. And I know that there is, when it comes to that position, that there's that responsibility of stewardship there. But I'm talking about just the average general Christian responsibility. You and I are on our own there, apart from the Lord. We just need to serve God. If the whole world, if the whole church becomes one great big backslider, that doesn't excuse us. We're still responsible. Jesus told Peter, he said, don't you worry about John. He said, you focus on Peter. You make sure you're in the will of God. You make sure your heart is tender. You make sure you love me. You make sure you follow me. I'll take care of John. You just focus on what Peter ought to do. And so, basically, I've already answered my title for the message where I said earlier, what shall this man do? I've already covered that, but I'm going to move into something else in just a moment. But look, please, at verse number 24. You're probably thinking, I wish you'd go ahead and move into it because the clock's still getting higher. Verse 24. Well, verse 23, he said, what is that to thee? That's a pretty good question, isn't it? Verse 24, this is the disciple which testified of these things. Of course, that's John now. John wrote this book, as we well know, and wrote these things. Yes, he wrote them under inspiration. And we know that his testimony is true. It certainly is true because he wrote under inspiration, and the Word of God is true. Verse 25, and there are also many other things which Jesus did. Have you ever thought about that? Jesus, the Son of God, did a whole lot of other things that are not recorded. That are not recorded. But what we have in the Bible, what we have in terms of record is inspired. But there's a lot of other things that were done. Now, for example, look at the verse. There are also many other things which Jesus did, the which if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Then he said, amen. Isn't that amazing? The Lord, I guess we could put it like this. The Lord did far more than what man gave him credit for. But on the other hand, what's recorded was exactly what the Lord wanted us to know. And so what is recorded is still inspired Scripture. Now, it'd be something for theologians to wrestle with, I guess. They could they could ask this question. I'm not even going to answer. I'm going to make you think about it. They could say, well, since He's the Lord, then everything He would have done, whether it's written or not, would have still been inspired. You're wanting me to say what I think about that, aren't you? I'm not. That's being mean, isn't it? But it is a thought, isn't it? He did a lot more that were not even written in books. The Lord of glory did. Now, I can't answer necessarily about all those questions, but I know this. I know what He gives us in the book was what He wanted us to know about. And we know that is inspired. I'm not saying what He did out apart from this would be uninspired. You think about it and get back with me. You get your people, get back with my people. Let's settle. Verse 22. He said, follow thou me. Peter, forget about John. Peter, it's not up to you to know what my will is for John. But I'm telling you, Peter, you follow me. Now, following the Lord, really, when you think about it, though it requires God's grace and help, he's putting it on a practical level, though. We follow the Lord. You see, what I like about Christianity, what I like about Christian service, is the fact that it involves simply following the Lord. That means the Lord's up front. That means he's ahead of me. That means he goes into the areas that I would question, that I would fear. He's there before I'm there because I'm following him. And my focus in life really has to be just simply following him. Now, it would appear to me that this puts Christianity in a practical mode, you might say. It means following the Lord. What is Christian service? Following the Lord. That seems practical enough, doesn't it? But I know that sometimes the water gets muddied because of things that might involve and so forth. But if you kind of look at it like that, though, it keeps it practical, following the Lord. Here's my thought tonight. I just believe in our Christian life, what we ought to do is stay on the practical mode of things. Just do the main thing. In other words, the best thing in our Christian life is to do the main thing, and the main thing is following the Lord. Why muddy the water? Why make it complicated? I mean, Jesus didn't make it complicated. He just told John, just follow me. Now, how do we follow the Lord? Well, we've got to keep our eyes on him for one thing if we're going to follow him. How do we keep our eyes on him? We keep our eyes on him through the Bible. Because the Bible is his book. We learn about him. And you see, it's his word that the Holy Spirit is using to give us direction in terms of following the Lord. So tonight we need to do the main thing, and we're talking about the will of God. I see people in churches, since I've been pastoring now a number of years, that are stumbling around searching for what to do. Sometimes they complicate the matter more than what it ought to be. You say, well, preacher, how do I follow the Lord? I've already given you the main hint. If you're not a person of the Bible, you'll never know. If you're not really in love with the Scriptures, you'll never know. Because this is the charter. This is the roadmap. When it comes to following the Lord, it involves a path. The path of righteousness. And you would agree tonight, the roadmap for the path of righteousness is the Word of God. Now that makes it pretty simple there. So we've got to do the main thing. How do I follow the Lord? You know, it's as simple as five basic things, which are so, they're about as practical, and they're just about as simple as a nose on our faces. Here they are. Five basics. Keep five basics going and you'll be following the Lord. Number one, the Bible. Be a person of the Bible. Read it, study it, pray over it, love it, trust it. Be a person of the Bible. Basic number two, have a prayer life. Be a person who prays and keeps on praying. Learn about prayer. Learn all you can about prayer. But one of the best ways to learn about prayer is to pray. Different types of prayer. There's praying for others. Intercessory prayer. There's prayer sometimes that involves confession of sins. Forgive us our trespasses, we say sometimes. We confess sin. So the different types of prayer. I'm saying the basics tonight involve the Bible, it involves prayer, and it involves church attendance. Church attendance. You say, preacher, why didn't you preach that this morning? Well, I know tonight that some people are not here because of weather, and I understand that. I fully understand that. But you know, I got to thinking about this. Sometimes church members might be thinking, well, why don't you preach these things to the folks that need to hear it, let's say, that don't come half the time when we talk about church attendance. Well, today, I got a revelation from heaven on something. Not really in that way, But I thought about this. I believe a message like this needs to go out to a crowd like you. Because you're here tonight. You understand the reasons. You understand the logic. You understand being faithful. And it's people like you that we can reach. Think about that. I can preach this same message to folks that have already made up their mind they don't need to be faithful in church, and it won't do a bit of good. So why not reinforce those that are serious about the message? You folks are serious about it. You're here. And that's the logic there. I have pretty well come to the conclusion, after all these years of preaching, what the Hebrews writer meant when he said, the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it, in Hebrews chapter 4. It is a shame, I hate to admit it, but since I'm in church, I will admit it. There are some people you cannot preach sin out of. They'll not change their mind. I know the Spirit of God can override that and can really do a work, but I've preached to people down through the years that I'm going to put it like this. There are some people that I don't even know what they would look like if they came to church on Sunday night. I just wonder if they'd look the same. The only time I've ever seen them is on Sunday morning. They have a pretty good Sunday morning face, but I just wonder what they'd look like if they came Sunday night. Seriously. But the basics, and I say this tonight because we as God's people, the devil doesn't like this. He doesn't like our being faithful. And so that's why pastors need to encourage the people that will listen to keep doing what you're doing. The basics. The Bible. Prayer. Keep praying. Church attendance. Basic number three, witnessing. It is absolutely critical that we witness, that we tell others about Christ, that we look for opportunities. You can give out gospel tracts, you can invite people to church, but we've got to get out of our own little world and start thinking about other people. Now, what about the verses previous to this? Jesus told Peter, he said, your ministry involves sheep. Again, that's not just a pastoral thing. Our ministry involves other people. We are responsible. Someone said, am I my brother's keeper? The answer is yes, we are. We're to be concerned about each other. We witness. We ought to be concerned about lost people. Lost people are, God wants us to reach them. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. And churches cannot lose their zeal and their burden to see people saved. Witnessing is important. While unless we're giving out, we will be passing out. We must be concerned about others. We're not to be content by our comfortable little church life that we have here at this church. It ought to concern every single one of us that there are empty pews here tonight. There are pews that need to have people on them. And by the way, you can... And I'm not excusing myself because I'm responsible too as a Christian to be a witness to others. But I do look at this analogy, this illustration. You have a pastor and you have sheep. You have an under shepherd and you have sheep. Now if we were to follow this strictly, I actually go out to a farm district and interview a farmer who had a flock of sheep. We could ask him some questions, but we already know the answers to the question. The one question might be, well, when it comes to sheep, how do sheep procreate, for example? Well, they have little ones. Who's responsible for the procreation? The sheep. Kind produces like kind. It's the sheep that reproduce. What does a shepherd do? The shepherd's responsibility is to make sure the sheep are nourished, healthy, to where they can reproduce. Fed properly, given freedom from fear, and taken care of. And happy, healthy sheep will produce. And I believe that's a principle that is at least applicable in local churches. While preachers still witness and give out the gospel, I believe church members still, they are the sheep though, too. And they are to be reproducing. People ought to be leading people to the Lord. They ought to be inviting people to church. If you don't know how to win a soul to Christ, I'll be happy to tell you all of that. I know about it. But people need to be saved. And these are some basics. Basics. When Jesus said, follow me, following him, what nurtures following him as a blessing is when we honor the basics. The Bible, prayer, church attendance, witnessing, number four, and then stewardship, number five, the five basics. Stewardship. What is stewardship? It's giving. We give our time, we give our talents, and we give our tithe. That's one thing I can honestly say of all the churches I have ever pastored, I've really not been very burdened at all in preaching on giving, because I know this is one of the most giving churches that I've ever been around. And so, why deal with an issue that seems to already be taken care of? But for the sake of new converts, for the sake of new people, it is noteworthy that we need to be taught and trained, and we certainly learn that you cannot give God. We give to the Lord tithes and offerings, the 10%. But my friend, that's basically the tithe is already required. You really start giving when you go above and beyond, because the tithe is already the Lord's anyway. So it's when you go beyond that. But the giving in this church is wonderful. How you support missionaries. How the Beams Missions Project goes forward all the time. What a blessing. But you see, these five things are important. When it comes to following the Lord, I believe it's important that our following the Lord is an honoring of these five basic things. I'm saying tonight, the best thing is to do the main thing. That's in essence what Jesus told Peter. He said, don't you worry about John. You think about Peter. You concentrate on one thing, following me. The best thing that we can do is to do the main thing. I can break this down further in more practical ways. Number one, we need to wake up to the number one job that we have. Wake up to the number one job, being a follower of the Lord. That's the number one job. Now, we can say this, you have to be a follower before you can follow. That's self-explanatory, isn't it? You've got to be a follower of the Lord before you can follow. To be a follower, you've got to be saved. You've got to know the Lord. It starts there. See, that's the most important thing. Now, summertime is over, but how many times do you get out in a yard mowing your grass and you get caught in a storm? It's happened to me before. Black clouds come overhead and all of a sudden the bottom drops out. Lightning, thunder. Best thing you can do is just get off that mower as quick as you can and get out of the storm and don't be a fool and play around with the possibility of being struck with electricity. Just run, get out of there. I would to God tonight that more lost people would get to the place in their life where they realize that it's that important, it's that critical that they run from the storm too. People need to flee from the wrath to come. To be a follower, you've got to follow the Lord yourself. Sinners need a shelter. A person, and I believe this tonight, a person's better off never being born, literally never being born, than to be born and to live and die without Jesus Christ. One of the most tragic and sorrowful and pitiful things that preachers have to deal with all the time is thinking about how many more sermons are some people going to be hearing in churches to only file and file 13 and never do anything about it. We need to listen carefully. And Christians, we're all responsible for that. One sermon obeyed is better than 10 sermons discussed. Too many people leave church discussing a sermon. They ought to be obeying it. Obedience is better than discussion. It's that important. Imagine yourself on a sinking ship. How concerned would you be if the ship was going down? How concerned would you be with your luggage. And that's basically how many people are in churches. They're concerned in their luggage. People need to be concerned in their soul, you see. Multitudes are going through life clinging to their luggage while the ship is going down. I believe it's that critical. You see, here's the thing. Never lose sight of the fact there is a heaven, there's a hell. Never lose sight of the fact that sinners that die without God still go to hell. Change theology all you want to. God only knows churches have changed enough. But basic Bible doctrine remains concrete. There is a heaven, there's a hell. There's one Savior, there's one way to be saved, and that's still through the blood of Jesus Christ. That if we really realize that, I'm telling you, it'll drive us to be more faithful. To realize that every person who we look in their faces, they are a candidate for heaven or hell. And the only thing that makes a difference is what have they done with Jesus Christ. We need to wake up to the number one job. Best thing is to do the main thing. Follow the Lord. I like Caleb, don't you? Bible says that Caleb followed me fully. He followed the Lord fully. What a great testimony. You talking about an epitaph for a tombstone when you die. He followed or she followed me fully. Wouldn't that make a good one? They followed me fully. Let me hurry. Do the main thing. What shall this man do? Well, do the main thing. Wake up to the number one job. Follow the Lord. Number two, weed your own garden. Think about it. Weed your own garden. Peter was saying, what about John? Jesus as much as said, what about Peter? Weed your own garden. Basically, mind your own business. Wouldn't we all be better off if we'd mind our own business? Military had a term that they used when I was in the military. Here's what the term was. Stay in your own lane. Stay within your own lane. Military people, they're trained in certain MOSs, military occupational skills. They're trained to function in a certain way. And so basically the command would say, you function in accordance to how you were trained. You leave the person with the other MOS. You let them do what they have to do. You do what you have to do. You stay within the own lane. The point is, don't be a busybody. Weed your own garden. While sometimes people sit around in the church thinking about so-and-so or someone else, or maybe they needed the sermon or didn't need the sermon, or they're thinking about, you know, an issue in someone else's life that they wish that they would get it right with God at the altar or whatever. Well, at any given time, probably, if we're honest, we can look at ourselves and we can find there's weeds in our own garden that need to be pulled. We haven't arrived yet. The saintliest person still has their issues. And it's a full-time job keeping ourselves straight. We certainly don't have time to get over in someone else's garden. In fact, by the way, we may get a hide full of buckshot anyway doing that. Mind your own business. If a thief broke in our house, we wouldn't sit around very long discussing how he got in. All we want to do is get him out. So, when Peter said, what shall this man do? Jesus said, what are you to be doing, Peter? Mind your own business. Wake up to the number one job, and then number three, and I'm done. Weigh the consequences of your actions. Weigh the consequences of your actions. Jesus basically let Peter know that he was responsible personally to follow him. He would have to give an account himself. It was not John that Peter had to worry about. It was Peter. And he would be responsible to for the consequence of his own action. And Romans 14:11 says we will one day give an account to the Lord. The main thing is to do the main thing. The main thing is just as simple as following the Lord. And again, in review, the five basics will keep us on the right track to following the Lord. The Bible, prayer, witnessing, church attendance, and stewardship. If we're faithful in those basic areas, we'll be following the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you.